This is KOIN in Portland. CBS News is next. CBS News, 12 hours from now at 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, the House Judiciary Committee embarks on a constitutional process of impeachment that could lead to Mr. Nixon's removal from office. I'm Jim Kilpatrick, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The hearings are expected to last at least 6 weeks. Most will be open to the public, but a few sessions will be closed. The first meeting Thursday afternoon will be broadcast live on radio and television. It is expected to include opening remarks from Chairman Rodino and some discussion among the committee members. After about the first 30 minutes, the Judiciary Committee will go into executive session discuss the preliminaries of its investigation into the possible impeachment of President Nixon. CBS News correspondent Daniel Shore reports, President Nixon may have taped his White House conversations in order to provide a new source of tax deductions. Shore says just before the taping started in 1971, the White House received advice that a law passed would allow possibly deductions for tape recordings where the law prohibited deductions for donated papers. A presidential tax consultant advised the White House a lifetime income tax savings could be obtained by donating things like tapes. More after this.
Don't let anyone con you into thinking it's wrong to turn in a heroin pusher. You're not ratting. You're doing your part to wipe out one of the most insidious epidemics racking our country today. So don't let anyone kid you. If you really care about the quality of life, if you really care about improving society, you'll do everything you can to get the heroin pusher off the street and into jail where he belongs. If you have information about a drug pusher, use the heroin hotline. The number is 800-368-5363. That's toll free from anywhere in the country. The number again is 800-368-5363. A trained operator will answer your call, take your information, and pass it on to experienced federal agents who will investigate. You'll make your own special contribution toward helping us wipe out what President Nixon has called public enemy number one. Call 800-368-5363.
The Agriculture Department has some good news for consumers. The prediction is shoppers will see only slight price increases for food during the rest of the year and may even see a small decline by late fall. The price of food, however, is still expected to be about 12% higher than last year. An earthquake rumbled through central Japan early Thursday morning. There was no major damage in Tokyo, but some destruction in small villages about 100 miles southwest of the capital. Bruce Dunning reports.
Reports from isolated fishing villages on the Izu Peninsula say the earthquake caused widespread damage to homes, but so far only one person is known to have been killed. A woman died, and 21 other people are reportedly unaccounted for after the tremor shook loose an avalanche that hit the village of Nakagi. Fires have also destroyed 3 houses in the same village. In another fishing village, Kohura, 70 houses collapsed, and minor tremors were reported more than 2 hours after the original earthquake. The first sharp tremor registered over 6 on the Japanese scale of 7, according to the earthquake measuring station at the tip of the Izu Peninsula, 85 miles southwest of Tokyo. It registered 3 in the capital. Rescue workers and firefighters are having difficulty reaching about a half dozen isolated villages at the tip of the peninsula because earthslides have blocked the few roads in the area. Bruce Dunning, CBS News, Tokyo.
The Senate Judiciary Committee has decided to examine the Justice Department's handling of the original Watergate investigation. They want the facts before deciding on the nomination of Earl Silbert as U.S. Attorney. Silbert was the head of a 3-man team investigating Watergate before the special prosecutor was named. For the first time in Canadian history, the Parliament has returned a vote of no confidence in the Prime Minister. Elliot Trudeau will resign and call new elections for July. Opposition parties charge the present Canadian government has failed to stop rising inflation. The Prime Minister of Iceland also received a vote of no confidence today and says he will call new elections for June 30th. More after this.
Hey, that's a nice pile.
Thank you.
Joe, you're
your turn to
somebody
up
shy
deal.
Here. Hey, Ted, sweep the pot, okay?
All right, open a little.
I know. Here we go.
Listen, because I'm sorry, but, you know, Mary is out, and I got to go check the baby. I'll be right back.
Oh, yeah, it's time we start a game. We never get this thing over with.
Oh, don't worry. Don't worry. He'll be back. Here, I'll put him in.
Pass the pretzels, will you?
Here. Come on, Dad. Hey, Dad.
Come on.
Hey, listen, did you ever see those bumper pads? You know, you got to make sure that they're tied in securely all around the crib so the kid can't get caught between the slats.
Boy, are you a nervous father. What could happen to a baby in a crib?
Listen, plenty can happen if you're not careful. Oops, there he goes again. Listen, fellas, I'm sorry, but, you know, just hang in there and I'll be back in a couple of
minutes. Come on. Just go ahead and deal.
That's all right.
Don't worry about it. I'll be back.
There are lots of things you should know about crib safety before the game begins. For free information, write Cribs, Washington, D.C., 20207. This message brought to you by the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission.
John Dean sold his Washington home to Republican Senator Lowell Weicker of the Senate Watergate Committee. Dean has now bought a new house in Los Angeles. The telephone was not installed Wednesday, so Dean wandered up the street to use a neighbor's phone. Come on in, said the neighbor. You can use the phone in the bar. It isn't tapped. I'm Jim Kilpatrick, CBS News.
Weather outlook for Portland, Vancouver says cloudy tonight, a chance of showers then tomorrow Thursday, but clearing again tomorrow night and fair skies predicted for Friday after some morning clouds. Lows should be in the mid-40s, highs tomorrow in the low 60s, warming to the upper 60s on Friday, winds out of the northwest at about 5 to 15 miles an hour tonight. Rain chance a mere 30% through tomorrow and 20% tomorrow night. Right now in downtown Portland at the KOIN studios, we have an exact reading of 55 degrees. The CBS Mystery Theater is next.
When you dine at the Captain's Corner, you found the corner on excellent dining in downtown Portland. It's a select menu at our Captain's Corner, proudly served in a warm, friendly atmosphere. We feel quality service is just as important as a quality menu. And at the Captain's Corner, you get both. For a relaxing lunch, for that gracious dinner after 5, it's the Captain's Corner, downtown on Southwest 12th, between Jefferson and Main in the Century Tower building, with free parking.
Presents. Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Welcome to another hour of mystery and suspense. To a terrifying experiment in supernatural power. An experiment by a retired scientist to direct his wife's subconscious mind to shoot him. She is lying on her back in the dark bedroom. He is in his study, concentrating, transmitting by mental energy his instructions.
In the night table, Ellen. In the night table, the gun. Pick up the gun, Helen. Pick up the gun. Now leave the bedroom. And come to my study, Helen. My study. Come to my study. Point the gun at me, Helen. At me. Point the gun, Helen. Now, pull the trigger. Pull the trigger.
Drama, The Breaking Point, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Hank Warner and stars Roger DeCoven. It is sponsored in part by the Kellogg Company, makers of Kellogg's Special K cereal, and by new sugar-free Diet 7-Up. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
And now another story of the ball and chain as Kellogg's Special K presents Veronica and Jeff.
Oh, Jeffrey, isn't this romantic? Out in a quiet lake at night with you rowing the boat.
Yes, Veronica, it's really neat.
Jeffrey, what was that?
Frogs.
Frogs that go bonk?
They're pretty weird frogs.
Oh, Jeffrey, you're such a card. You have a ball and chain, like the ones they use in those Special K commercials.
Yes, Veronica, it symbolizes my few pounds of extra weight. But I'm going to get rid of it.
How?
By exercising. You know, like rowing this boat and eating smart at every meal, starting with a Special K breakfast.
You mean a 1 ounce bowl of high-protein Special K, 4 ounces of skim milk, orange juice, and coffee?
Precisely. It's less than 240 calories, and it tastes delicious. It'll help me get rid of this ball and chain.
I'll help too, Jeff. After all, we're all in the same boat.
You have a ball and chain too.
Your happy ending could begin with a Special K breakfast from Kellogg's.
Don't let anyone...
It's May Value Days at Janssen Beach Center, Thursday through Sunday, with springtime and summer needs priced to save you dollars. Shop the more than 60 stores in air-conditioned comfort. Saturday and Sunday, May 11th and 12th only, it's a candidates' fair at the center. Over 85 candidates for national, state, city, and county offices will be on hand to speak with you and answer your questions. That's May Value Days through Sunday, candidates' fair Saturday and Sunday at Janssen Beach Center, I-5 at Janssen Beach.
Now, there's a law that takes the wraps off the cost of credit. Truth in lending. It requires that these words be on every consumer credit contract. Finance charge. Annual percentage rate. They tell you how much you're paying before you sign. If you don't see them, don't sign. For a free copy of the Credit Buyer's Guide, write the Federal Trade Commission, 908 Republic Building, Seattle, Washington, 98101. This message from the FTC, brought to you by the station.
Come, ride with me in this ambulance, speeding through the midnight fog, across the Golden Gate Bridge to St. Francis Hospital in downtown San Francisco. As the trauma emergency team tries with plasma and oxygen to keep critically wounded Professor William Baker alive. The driver and the two doctors know that the patient must get to the operating room in minutes. Now, quickly, up this hospital corridor, as the patient is wheeled into the operating room, stand outside the door and listen as they try to save him. And maybe you'll learn what Professor Baker tried to learn about the dark mystery of life and death.
Scalpel. Clap.
The patient's failing, Doctor.
Blood pressure?
62 over 40.
Adrenaline. I can hear them trying to save me. But I'm going to die. And I want you to know that I'm dying all because I made my wife murder me. Yes, I am dying because I conducted an experiment to influence my wife's subconscious mind to the point where she was going to murder me. Listen. Listen carefully. I will tell you exactly what happened. And when I have completed what I desire to communicate, go to the police. Tell them, if you dare. I say dare, for it will require courage. It began this afternoon, when Dr. Philip Simpson, the brilliant young brain surgeon, drove up in his station wagon from Palo Alto to address the San Francisco Medical Society and spend the night with us at the cottage Helen, my wife, and I had rented in the wooded hillside just across the Golden Gate Bridge, overlooking the ocean. He brought Chiche, one of two Capuchin monkeys he kept under observation in his research laboratory. It's good to see you, Philip.
It's so good to see you, Professor Baker.
So, That's Chee-Chee.
Yes, he wants to get out. Quiet town, Chee-Chee. Come on, you can come out.
Hello, Chee-Chee. Oh, you want to shake hands, too? Of course. Welcome, Chee-Chee.
Very affectionate. Astounding talent for mimicry.
Oh, dear.
Get off Professor Baker's shoulder, Chee-Chee. Come on down. He likes your hat. No, Chee-Chee. No. All right, now you've tried it on, give it back.
Oh, thank you, Chee-Chee.
He gets tired of wearing his black skull cap. Chee-Chee, let go of my hand. You go on by yourself. He's always curious about new surroundings. Probably wants to explore that grove of trees. Well, go on, Chee-Chee. He won't go far. He'll play for a while and come back. Beautiful place you have here, Professor Baker. Is Helen home?
Oh, she'll be back shortly. Had some shopping in the village. She just had to have abalone for you. She remembered how much you enjoy abalone,
Steve. Oh, wonderful, wonderful. How is she? You and Helen certainly could not have found a lovelier place for retirement.
It is rather isolated, but then it does have that increasingly rare commodity, peace and quiet. Let's walk around back.
Just beautiful. This view.
Now about a cocktail.
Well, why don't we wait for Helen?
Well, she ought to be back any minute. We usually have our evening cocktail in the study. Gets foggy on the patio towards sundown. What about Chee-Chee?
He'll be all right. He'll open the patio door if it's left unlocked. Gets hysterical if he thinks he's been locked up.
Still like dry Manhattans?
Perfect. Did you tell Helen that you had asked me to bring Chee-Chee?
I intended to. Slipped my mind. Yeah?
Ah, thank you. Well, cheers. That's good as ever. I hope Helen won't be upset.
I'm sure she won't. I rather think she'll be intrigued with the idea of having Chee-Chee here for our experiments.
What? You mean she's working with you on the research?
Oh, yes. She's very cooperative. Finds it lots of fun.
Well, that is interesting. Is she as intrigued as you seem to be with psychic studies?
Well, frankly, I don't believe so. She's been very cooperative, but I don't think she really approves.
Oh?
Sometimes I question the wisdom of having married at my age.
Oh, come on now.
I remind you, Philip, Helen is 20 years younger. I sometimes have the feeling she feels trapped. Misses the activities of faculty wives she so enjoyed in the years before my retirement. Perhaps we'd had children. Philip, Helen should have married you when you were both graduate students.
Well, there's nothing happened between you.
No, Philip, not yet, but...
Well, don't tell me that you, Professor Baker, an eminent physicist for 40 years, with worldwide reputation for scientific integrity, has succumbed to clairvoyance?
And you, Philip, you have irrefutable proof that clairvoyance does not ever exist? Can you issue an assurance that something will not happen? Well, that's Helen now.
Oh.
Philip!
Hello, Helen.
As I look back now to that moment when Dr. Simpson and I waited for Helen to come into the house, I fully realize that the quick flush that passed over his tense face meant the one thing I had been blind to, that he was still in love with her. Helen entered the room with packages in her arms. She threw them on the sofa, rushed towards him, her face glowing with pleasure, embraced him and kissed his cheek, hugged him.
Oh, Philip. It's so good to see you.
Good to see you.
Oh, let me look at you. Oh, it's so good to see you.
Neither one of them saw Chee-Chee open the door from the garden, come into the room, climb a table, and spring onto her shoulder, its furry paws around her neck.
Chee-Chee! Come down, Chee-Chee. Let go of her. Come down. There. Now stay there.
It's a monkey. I couldn't imagine what. All I saw and felt were hairy paws.
That's all right, Chee-Chee. It's all right. Just be quiet. I'm so sorry he scared you.
He was trying to be affectionate.
Yeah, well, I sure can do with a drink. Oh.
Here you are, dear. Oh,
thank you. Oh, he is cute. But, why the black skullcap?
Well, you might say aesthetic reasons.
Aesthetic?
Or cosmetic. Philip doesn't like his little wards running around in public with their brains exposed.
Brains exposed?
Yes, that's right, Helen. The skull cap covers Chi-Chi's plastic skull. Now I'll show you. There you are.
Well, you can see its brain. It's positively fascinating. Mm-hmm. Almost unbelievable. Oh, Philip, it's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant surgery.
Wait a minute, Helen. I'm just carrying on what was begun in 1948 at the Naval Medical Research Institute in Bethesda, Maryland.
Really? I had no idea such surgery was possible that far back.
Helen, my dear, there's a big gap in your knowledge of surgery. The ancient Egyptians operated on cranial bone.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. Look here, Helen. Surgeons, in a series of four operations, removed cranial bone from the shaved head. And when the skull healed, fitted the metal ring around the edge of the skull, sealing the joint with rosin and wax. The clear plastic skull is held in place by these six steel bolts.
Marvelous. Simply marvelous.
Oh, it's practically routine now.
Well, why was it done, Philip?
Well, to study through the plastic skull, as I'm still studying, the flow of blood when the monkeys are in an induced state of shock, or under the influence of anesthesia or drugs like adrenaline, histamine. And, of course, reactions to cold, hunger, diet, fear, tension, so forth. Incidentally, I'm leaving Chi-Chi here for a while.
Here?
Oh, I'm sorry, Helen. I simply forgot to tell you.
Yes, but why? I mean, why is it being left here?
What Philip is too polite to say, my dear, is that he's loaning Chi-Chi to me for extrasensory and paranormal experiments. To make my own observations. I believe he hopes to convince me that the brain, monkeys or man's, fails to respond with a measurable reaction to mental energy messages.
Exactly.
Look, I'm curious. Why must the experiment be with a monkey when a dog, a horse?
Philip understands, don't you, Philip?
Well, Helen, in the scale of intelligence among animals, the monkey has the highest ability to learn next to man.
Oh, Philip, what time is your lecture?
Well, I should be at the academy by 8.
Good. Give us enough time for another cocktail. And not have to rush through dinner. Darling, please shake up another round. I'll take these packages to the kitchen.
Well, here. Let me carry them in.
Oh. Well, just put them on the counter, Philip.
Mm-hmm. Anything else I can help you with? Just show me where things are. I'll help set the table. What is it, Helen? You all right?
Yes. The table.
What are you talking about? I said I'd help set the table.
Oh, well, later. Let's have our drink and talk. There's so much to catch up with, Philip. More coffee, Philip?
Yes, please.
Oh, have some more of the strawberries, Philip. And ice cream.
But just a little. Helen, what you've been telling me is hardly believable.
Well, there's no room for disbelief, Philip. There's evidence.
Evidence?
Yes. I'll get the drawings. Excuse me. Be right back. They're in the study.
I don't like it, Helen. Do you have these dizzy spells often?
Well, they've been more frequent recently.
Well, you should stop participating in such experiments. I'll talk to William.
Oh, please don't. Please.
Here we are. Philip, look at these rough line drawings. Do they suggest recognizable objects?
Well, this might be an apple, I guess. This suggests a knife. We can't see anything in this one. Meaningless lines.
Yes, that one is meaningless. Note the dates on the drawings. About a month ago, I sat at this table with three objects in my hands. An apple, a knife, and a salt shaker. Helen was stretched out on her back in the bedroom, her mind clear of any thoughts or feelings, awaiting my energy message. She could not hear me, She can only receive my thoughts, my instructions. I sent a message for her to pick up the pad and pencil on the night table. I sent an energy message telling her I was holding an apple, a knife, and a salt shaker, and for her to draw them. She got 2 out of 3.
You ask me to accept this as evidence that you can control the actions of the mind of a person who is out of your sight, out of the sound of your voice, even physically in another place? Oh, I call it coincidence, accident.
It did happen, Philip. In many other experiments we did together, it took me months of training to achieve a state of receptivity.
Well, that's all very interesting, but I'd better soon be on my way to the academy.
I can see you're still skeptical. Can you spare 3 more minutes for another, as you say, interesting experiment now, right here, with Helen?
With Helen? I'd rather not.
I don't mind, Philip.
All right, very well.
Thank you, Helen. Lie down in the bedroom. I'll give you 2 minutes to achieve receptivity. I will repeat once more, Helen. Come back, pick up the coffee pot, and pour the coffee right on your fine lace tablecloth.
You're not going to let her...
No, this gong will stop her.
More coffee, Philip?
Well, I really should be going.
Oh, yes, before the bridge traffic gets heavy.
Here, I'll help you carry these things to the kitchen.
He followed her into the kitchen, carrying a tray. The brilliant Dr. Simpson had been puzzled. Are you all right? He had asked her. Dr. Simpson, who recognized only the physical laws of matter, had asked, are you all right? But she wasn't all right. Dr. Simpson didn't know then what the trouble was. But late that night, when he returned from his lecture, he found out about the experiment that was underway with the loaded gun in the night table.
Well, this is a strange kind of monkey business, huh? And poor puzzled Dr. Simpson. I'm sure he never expected to find 2 old respectable friends kicking the gong around. I'll be back shortly with Act Two.
Hello, Ms. Goldilocks here, and welcome to my professional taste-testing laboratory. Oh, Papa Bear, Could you bring that case of sugar-free Diet 7-Up over here?
Another case? Ms. Goldilocks, you're drinking this sugar-free Diet 7-Up like there's no tomorrow. You can't still be taste-testing it.
Oh, no, Papa Bear. Sugar-free Diet 7-Up has already earned my seal of approval. It's fresh, light, natural. Delicious. I drink it because I love its taste. Now hurry up.
Okay, here.
Mm-hmm. This sugar-free Diet 7-Up really tastes delicious. Ladies, if you're tired of switching from one diet drink to another, take some advice from Ms. Goldilocks. Try sugar-free Diet 7-Up and you'll say, yes, this one's just right.
I'll bear witness to that, Goldie.
Reserves are looking for a few good men to help keep the peace. We're looking for men who understand that nobody likes to fight, but somebody has to know how. We want men who want to see their children grow up in an age of peace. Men who will do more than wish for it. Men who will work for it. Men who don't need the draft to know there's a job to be done. Men who ask themselves what they can do for their country and do it. We're looking for a few good men to stand with the Marine Corps Reserve. No shortcuts, no compromises, no promises except one. You'll be a Marine and you'll be ready. That's the job of a peacekeeper.
Clear your mind and listen with a blank mind, and maybe you will intercept the next mental radio message Professor Baker has prepared for Helen. Ready?
Helen didn't wait up for Dr. Simpson to return. I waited in the study, dark but for the small lamp on my desk, and still, except for the soft breathing of Chi-Chi asleep in the shadowy corner of the sofa, I waited and read until I could be sure that Helen was sound asleep. I unlocked my desk and took out the one notebook I kept hidden from her and made an entry. The experiment is beginning to show results. Today, Helen reacted with an unmistakable manifestation of dizziness and mental depressiveness when Dr. Simpson mentioned the word table. I am convinced that the subject has reached the stage of complete susceptibility and receptiveness. Then I continued the experiment. I stared in the direction of the bedroom door and concentrated. I shut out every sight and sound and thought until I was oblivious to everything but the task at hand. Helen, there is a gun in the night table. In the night table, Helen. In the night table, a gun, Helen. In the night table, a gun, Helen.
Professor Baker?
Yes?
What are you doing?
Experimenting.
Where's Helen?
Lying down in the bedroom. Close the door, won't you?
Professor, what is this experiment?
It's a very simple experiment. I'm trying to reach a mind. Now, if you'll excuse me. Helen, there is a gun in the night table.
Stop it! Stop!
Why, you're shaking, Dr. Simpson.
What are you up to?
I'm simply trying to tell Helen there is a gun in the night table by her bed. And for her to...
To what?
To pick it up, enter this room, point the gun at me, and pull the trigger.
But why? Why?
What I'm trying to determine is whether one mind can influence another by exerting mental energy to do something the subject would normally recoil from doing.
Yes, yes, go on.
In Helen's case, I'm sure that in her conscious hours, she would never even entertain the thought of shooting me. I'm trying to determine whether she can be made to do just that without her being aware that she is being impelled to do so.
But why? What would it prove?
Prove? Don't you see? If one mind can control another across space, think of the power men of goodwill can exercise over evil. It will at long last give man control over the rapacious breed that makes civilization a nightmare. The evil, power-hungry men who brainwash their countrymen into one war after another.
Professor, how long has this been going on?
For weeks. Every night. You recall Helen's depressiveness this evening? When you mentioned the word table?
You mean...
Yes. The reaction. Results. My mind is beginning to control her subconscious. You witnessed it, Philip. And now, have you the scientific integrity and the courage to witness the experiment carried through? I have conditioned her to come in when the clock strikes midnight. In a few minutes now.
What do you mean, do I have the courage?
Yes. To stand by and not interfere when or if she's about to pull the trigger to kill me.
You...
You mean the gun is loaded?
Of course it is.
But why not blank bullets?
The experiment must be carried out with all factors of reality to eliminate all possibility of interference from her extrasensory perception.
I don't understand.
Don't you see? Her extrasensory perception could signal her subconscious mind that the gun is harmless and the experiment would prove nothing.
Professor Baker, I simply cannot understand how a man like you, who has devoted 40 years to the science of physics, can suddenly, on retirement from scholastic life, devote all his time to such elusive matters as parapsychology, mental telepathy, clairvoyance, fantastic nonsense.
You sound very dogmatic for a man of science, Dr. Simpson.
With all due respect to your sincerity and your experiments, Professor Baker, the vast array of scientific knowledge still supports the theory that human behavior can be traced directly to the physical and chemical factors of the human body.
And you think Chi-Chi will convince me of that?
Precisely.
You allow for no distinction between man and the monkey.
None. Both are animals.
Listen to me, Philip. You've been trying to dissuade me. Oh, I'm quite aware of that. Now let me try to convince you.
All right, I'm listening.
From the time the British Society for Psychical Research was founded in 1882, right through the present worldwide experimentation to pierce the veil of the unknown, the one thing that has been missing is the willingness of scientists of unquestioned integrity to conduct their own experiments. The time has come, Philip, for researchers like you and me to settle once and for all what is or is not possible. Is or is not true in paranormality.
If I consent to witness your experiment, will you promise me that if it fails, tonight, now, you will never again experiment with Helen's mind?
Yes. But, Philip, I can see you're still afraid that the experiment will succeed and that she could shoot me. I'll put you at ease. This gong that stopped her from pouring the coffee on the table. Here, you hold it. And if you think the situation warrants, strike the gong.
Very well. Proceed.
He stood by the door to the study, one hand holding the brass gong by its silk braid, his eyes watching the clock on the mantel as it started to strike midnight. Chi-Chi, awakened by the clock and our raised voices, was nervously pacing back and forth across the top of the back of the sofa. Philip watched the door. I sensed he was prepared if Helen failed to respond to the gong. He would strike the gun out of her hand. I resumed the experiment. Pick up the gun. Come into the study, Helen. The study, Helen. Helen walked in, her eyes fixed and staring, her arms at her side, her right hand slightly behind her. Philip, mouth open, unable to utter a word, watching her. Point the gun at me. Pull the trigger. Simpson dropped the gun. Rushed to me as I slumped over the desk.
Good God.
The bullet hit in my chest.
Helen! Towels, adhesive tape, it's a chest wound. Have to keep him from sucking in air.
He looked up from examining the wound. One glance told him she didn't hear or understand. He ran to the bathroom, got towels and the tape.
Helen, call an ambulance.
He moved me to the couch, pillows under my head, ripped open my shirt, pressed the towel on the wound, taped my chest to keep the pressure on the wound.
Call the ambulance, Helen.
She didn't respond. He seized the phone.
Put down the phone, Philip.
Helen. Helen, why are you pointing the gun at me? Put down the gun.
She lowered the gun to her side. He went to her. My eyes closed. I struggled against the blackness flooding my mind. I struggled as the blood trickled from my wound to listen.
Helen, don't you hear me?
Answer me. Answer me.
Why did you slap me, Philip?
Helen, do you know what you've done?
What have I done?
You've shot him.
Who?
Your husband, Professor Baker. We've got to call an ambulance, Helen. His pulses.
Will he live?
The ambulance, Helen.
He won't live, will he? I can see it in your face, Philip. He won't live.
He'll die if he doesn't get to the operating room.
I want him to die.
What did you say?
I want him to die.
Well, I must say, I'm surprised too. But then, Helen's probably like most women, not always mean what they say or say what they mean, huh? Wonder what's really on her mind. But she's in good hands, with a doctor in the house. I'll be back shortly with Act Three.
When you say Budweiser,
when you say Bud, you said a lot of things nobody else can say. When you say Bud, you got as far as you can go to get the very best.
When you say Bud,
you said the word that means you like to do it all.
It means you want the beer that's got a taste that's number one. When you say Bud, you tell the world you know what makes it all the way. When you say Bud, you say you care enough to only want the king of beers. There is no other one. There's only something less.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis. The Veterans Administration helps people in little ways.
A veteran, let's say, is trying to get an apartment. He's filed to go to school under the GI Bill. He's not getting any money, but he's entitled. Now, what's wrong with writing a letter saying that under the law, this man is entitled to receive $220 a month for attending school on a full-time basis? Believe it or not, he can take that letter with the little job, take it to the real estate people, and because he has an additional income of $220, although he isn't receiving it, it makes his chances of getting that apartment much better. And this is what I mean about the little things. Going beyond the duty every once in a while. Just go a little bit out of your way to help someone. That's my philosophy. To me, these are little things. But big things to that person. A big thing to that person.
At VA, we try a little harder to help.
Well, it does seem we left both Helen and Dr. Simpson in a state of shock. Not to mention our bleeding Professor Baker. And that hysterical Chi-Chi. Let's rejoin them and see whether there's help for any of them.
I don't want him to die.
Listen to me, Helen. You must let me call the ambulance. Don't you see? We must. If he dies here, the police will want to know why we didn't call the ambulance.
The police?
Yes, Helen, the police will want to know.
Oh, Philip. Hold me. Help me.
Come. Sit down. Lean back. Just try to relax. Put the gun on the floor. I'll call the hospital.
St. Francis Hospital.
This is Dr. Philip Simpson.
Yes, Doctor.
I need the ambulance trauma team at once. 47 Edgecliff Road. Critical chest wound. Gunshot.
Yes, Doctor. I'll put it right through.
Now, I want you to call the police, Helen.
The police?
Yes, they'll be here soon anyway. They're always alerted about requests for an ambulance. But I want you to call them for the record. It will be important at the trial. I'll get them on the phone. You talk.
Police emergency, Sergeant Peters.
Oh, this is Mrs. William Baker, 47 Edgecliff Road. I want to report that I just shot my husband. What will I tell them when they get here, Philip?
You don't have to answer any questions tonight. I'll have the law firm of Kendall Prentice represent you. They're specialists in forensic medicine.
The Chinese gong in the dining room.
It's Chi-Chi, imitating what I did. Chi-Chi, stop that. You hear me? Stop that. Let me have it, Chi-Chi. Now come here. Drop it. Drop it. Let go of it, or I'll break your paw. Those Capuchin monkeys, they want to imitate every new thing they see. Chi-Chi, go sit down in that corner. Go on, and stay there. They're intelligent, but they can be very trying. Chi-Chi is acting strangely tonight. Usually obeys a command immediately.
Well, perhaps Chi-Chi's nervous system has been affected by what's happened here. Perhaps its brain has intercepted some of William's energy messages.
Nonsense, Helen. That's impossible. I mean, Chi-Chi can sense excitement and tension in a room, but as for intercepting Professor Baker's energy messages, uh-uh. I'd better check his pulse. He's weak. Very weak. What's keeping that angle?
Tell it! Chi-Chi's got the gun!
Chi-Chi! Chi-Chi! Let me have that gun! Now, Chi-Chi, now you be a nice boy. Put the gun on the floor. Good boy, good boy. Thank you, Chi-Chi. Thank you. Now go back in the corner and please stay there. I'll put the gun on the desk. I think we both need a brandy. Would you like one, Helen? Oh,
yes, please.
Here, dear. Now just sip it.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, Helen. Did you know what you were doing when you pulled the trigger?
Well, what do you think, Philip?
I don't know what to think yet. You've got to tell me, Helen. Did you know what you were doing? You pulled the trigger after I struck the gong.
Yes. I know.
You knew? You deliberately murdered him.
Murder? I shot him. Because he told me to. He made me do it.
But if you knew what you were doing, the police will call it murder.
Look, I told you I knew what I was doing, but I won't tell the police.
What will you tell them?
That the experiment, the great Professor Baker's experiment, was a success.
Wait a minute, you knew about the experiment? You knew?
Yes, every step of it. I knew about the notebook. I read every entry, every day. I knew exactly what he was up to. The police will read the notebook and they'll understand. They'll understand.
You murdered him. Helen.
I never loved him. I was beginning to hate him.
It doesn't matter now, Helen. I prefer to conclude that you did not know what you were doing. That the experiment did unbalance your mind. I think the district attorney will accept that.
Accept what, Philip?
That when you pulled that trigger, it was insanity.
Oh, no. No, I won't be declared insane. No. No, no. Look, I'll show them the notebook. They'll understand. They'll read it in his own handwriting. How night after night, while I was asleep, he tried to make me shoot him. They'll understand. Unless you tell them differently. Unless you tell them I murdered him.
Helen, please, listen to me. Try to understand what I'm telling you. The police will never believe that Professor Baker's experiment was a success. They'll call in scientists to testify that no such thing is possible. They'll suspect that you used your knowledge of the experiment to kill your husband.
Yes, but you were a witness. You can verify what happened.
Yes, but the...
You... Tell them that I murdered him?
No. No, no, no. Oh. The only honest opinion I can give them is that your mind snapped. That day by day, the knowledge of your husband's secret experiment preyed on your mind. And you became convinced, in a moment of temporary insanity, that he really wanted you to kill him.
Will they believe that?
I hope the jury will.
Help me, Philip. You must help me. I'm so tired. I'm so mixed up.
As I lay there on the couch, still, my eyes closed, aware that under the blanket, my blood was still slowly trickling into the towel, fighting against slipping off into unconsciousness. I could still hear their voices as from a great distance.
You must help me. I'm so tired. I'm so mixed
my
up.
And then I was aware of Chi-Chi at the side of the couch, bending over me, its breath close to my face. My eyelids, heavy with weariness, lifted slightly, and through the thin slit of vision, I saw Chi-Chi's plastic skull. I could see plainly through the plastic skull, the gray mass of nerve tissue of the cerebellum. And then, summoning every last bit of strength of will, I concentrated on Chi-Chi's brain. Chi-Chi, the gun in the desk, Chi-Chi.
What have I done, Philip? You too. It will ruin your career.
Go to the desk, Chi-Chi, in the drawer, the gun. I could see its gray eyes staring at me, trying to grasp what I was telling him. And then he jumped on the desk, pulled open the drawer, and took out the gun.
Chi-Chi! Put it down, Chi-Chi!
Philip charged to the desk. Chi-Chi eluded him. Leaped to the mantle over the fireplace.
Drop the gun, Chi-Chi. Drop it!
Philip chased it all over the room, knocked over a table lamp. It jumped to the hanging ceiling light fixture, waving the gun playfully. Chi-Chi, point the gun at the mirror. At the mirror, Chi-Chi.
Drop it! Drop it!
Give me the gun, Chi-Chi!
At the mirror! Pull the trigger!
Give me the gun, Chi-Chi!
Helen was reaching towards Chi-Chi. Chi-Chi was pointing the gun at her. I didn't want Helen to die. I summoned every last ounce of will and sent a mental message to Chi-Chi. Drop the gun, Chi-Chi! Drop the gun!
Look out, Helen!
Good Lord. Helen. Answer me.
She didn't have a chance. She was shot in the head.
Oh, my child.
You must not die, Helen. You must not die. Helen, I love you.
Oh, my child.
Chi-Chi was at the door at the garden in a panic, trying to open the door, the gun still in his hand. Philip grabbed the fireplace poker, swung it on Chi-Chi's plastic skull. It glanced off and fell out of his hand.
You!
Philip picked up a chair, threw it at Chi-Chi with all the strength of his fury. It crashed through the glass. Chi-Chi jumped through the opening. Philip picked up the poker, went after Chi-Chi. I could hear Philip chasing him across the flagstones of the patio. I heard the police car. I could hear Philip shouting.
Chi-Chi!
Then, all was still, deathly still. I lost consciousness until I became aware of someone talking on the telephone.
Yes, Lieutenant. Two dead. Mrs. Baker in the house, and a Dr. Philip Simpson in the woods back of the house. Yeah, one bullet in each of them. John says Dr. Simpson was pretty far gone when he found him. Says he tried to tell him something. John thinks it was something about a monkey, still running around out there with a loaded gun. It beats me, too, Lieutenant. No, nothing else. Oh, yes, sir, we found the black skull cap hanging on the chandelier. That's what I said, skull cap. Odd-shaped thing. I'm trying to figure out what it's for now. Right. Oh, better get that ambulance out here fast. Professor may still have a chance. Here it comes now, Lieutenant.
That's how it happened. Exactly how it happened. The police are still puzzled. Chi-Chi will probably find roaming the woods the gun somewhere nearby. Chi-Chi did it. Tell the police Chi-Chi did it. Why? Perhaps it was mimicking Helen after it witnessed her shooting me. I shall never know. As for whether my wife murdered me willfully or suffered temporary insanity or was influenced by my mental energy, you must judge for yourself after you read the full record of the experiment in the notebook. Yes. Go tell the police and Professor Seligson. You can locate him through the American Society of University Professors. Tell them I decided to communicate the foregoing just an hour ago when I heard the operating team give me up.
Dead men tell no tales. Talking about the brain, though, let me give you men a tip. If your wife is trying to talk you to death, don't worry. Master the secret of mind over chatter. But seriously, a guy I know didn't even answer his wife. She threatened to divorce him because he was unsociable. So he hit her over the head with a mashie. Told the jury he wanted to be clubby. I'll be back shortly.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your better business, your knows.
Hey, honey, this looks like a good deal. No payment for 3 months on easy credit terms.
But, dear, do you think we can meet the payments?
He's right, you know. Shop for credit as carefully as you shop for products.
Who are you?
I'm the man from the Better Business Bureau. And before you decide to buy anything on time, ask yourself if you can make the payments out of your regular income. How far is your credit extended now? Have you any credit or cash reserve to cover an unexpected illness or a loss of your job?
Gee, maybe I better think it over. Thanks for your advice.
Oh, not at all. Not at all. Just another consumer tip from your Better Business Bureau.
A word of advice, folks. When brain fatigue threatens and mental strain upsets you, why not settle down beside your radio for another relaxing hour of suspense and adventure in the complimentary season seat reserved just for you in our Radio Mystery Theater. And oh yes, bring your friends. The seats are on the house. Our cast included Roger DeCoven, Bryna Rayburn, and Nat Polan. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Mr. Clay,
I agreed to visit you in your cell on two conditions. A, it would be kept secret. B, I would do nothing that's foreign to my principles.
Of course, of course.
Mr. Perry, I find you a thoroughly despicable person.
I've heard that before.
You make your money from narcotics, gambling, extortion, and you're a murderer.
They could never prove that in court.
Till now. But it looks as if they've got you finally. They have you cold for the murder of Paul Grover.
Yeah, well, that's why I wanted to see you, Congresswoman. I thought you'd want to do the right thing.
The right thing?
Yeah. And the right thing would be for you to confess to that murder.
What did you say?
You heard me.
Why should I confess?
Because you killed Paul Grover.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
On our next Mystery Theater. Don't fail to miss it. Same time, same station. In about 20 seconds, news time from CBS. The weather outlook for Portland, Vancouver, cloudy tonight. A chance of showers tomorrow, clearing tomorrow night, and fair on Friday after morning clouds. Lows in the 40s, highs tomorrow in the low 60s, warming to the upper 60s on Friday. Rain chance right now, 30%. It stays that way through tomorrow, then 20% tomorrow night. It's 11 o'clock at KOI in Portland.
CBS News. The House Judiciary Committee is getting set to open its public hearings on the question of impeaching President Nixon. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The hearings will open at 1 p.m. Eastern Time Thursday with live radio and TV coverage. The opening session will be broadcast live by many of these CBS Radio Network stations. Opening statements will come from Committee Chairman Peter Rodino and from Edward Hutchinson, the ranking committee Republican. After the opening statements, the committee goes into closed sessions until the public phase of the hearings resumes May 21st. House Democratic Leader Thomas O'Neill says he is certain the full House will vote on impeachment, and O'Neill says he expects that vote around August 1st. O'Neill says parts of the edited White House tapes transcripts have convinced him President Nixon is guilty of obstructing justice. The Chicago Tribune, a longtime staunch Republican newspaper, says the president should leave office either by impeachment or resignation. In an editorial for its Thursday morning editions, the Tribune says things have reached a state that Mr. Nixon's departure is best for the presidency, the country, and the free world. More news after this message.
This is Gene King for your Better Business Bureau. The Federal Truth in Lending Law is meant to help you, the customer, make informed decisions about borrowing money or buying on time, and to get the most for your money by letting you know exactly how much credit costs. Now, the two most important things to know in order to determine the cost of credit are, one, the finance charge, and two, the annual percentage rate. Now, the finance charge is the total of all charges, the interest and service or carrying charges that a creditor levies. And the law requires that this finance charge be expressed as an annual percentage rate so that you can really compare credit costs. The Truth in Lending Law does not fix interest rates or other credit charges, but it does give you a basis for comparison, you see, when you shop for money or goods on credit. Don't forget that. This has been a consumer tip from your Better Business Bureau.
After more than 6 years in power, Canada's prime minister will hand in his resignation Thursday, a result of a no-confidence vote by the Canadian Parliament. Details reported by Hal Lee in Ottawa.
The government of Prime Minister Pierre Trudeau has fallen. It fell because it failed to do enough, according to the opposition parties, to curb or roll back inflationary forces. The Prime Minister's 18-month-old government was in a precarious position from the beginning because it needed support of a minority party to retain power. For a while, it worked. Several bills upgrading pensions, reducing taxes, and providing business incentives were passed during the tenure of the government, but only because they were acceptable to the minority party, the New Democrats. The government fell because it failed to satisfy a clamor for curbs on excessive profits and failed to provide benefits to the elderly and those on fixed incomes in Canada to offset inflation in its recent budget. The Prime Minister will proceed to Government House in Ottawa, the home of the Queen's representative in Canada, the Governor General, to officially tender his government's resignation. The election could be held as early as July 8th. Al Lee for CBS News in Ottawa.
A continuing political battle over inflation is being blamed for the fall of the government in Iceland. A no-confidence motion was put forward aimed at Prime Minister Ólafur Jóhannesson, who dissolved Parliament Thursday morning and called new elections. Publisher Randolph Hearst is now offering a $50,000 reward for information leading to the safe return of his daughter, Patricia. Hearst on Wednesday told why he's offering the reward.
I want a home, and I'm going to do anything I can do to get a home. If in the process the SLA will be arrested and convicted, I'd be delighted. But mainly I want to get my daughter back. I think they're pretty well proven. They're not too interested in the people. They just turn out to be a bunch of criminals. And I want my daughter away from them if I can get her. And this is one way.
Hearst's daughter was kidnapped more than 3 months ago when she was dragged out of her apartment in California on February 4th. A strong earthquake hit central Japan Thursday morning. At least one person was killed in a city about 100 miles southwest of Tokyo. There are no reports of damage in Tokyo. Now this.
Hello, this is Steve Allen.
You are? Then I must be Jane Meadows.
I hope so.
Now, do you want to tell them, darling, or shall I?
Ladies first, sweetheart. The microphone's
okay.
All yours.
Okay. Well, we have some good news. Steve and I are the honorary chairman of National Goodwill Week. That's May 5th through the 12th.
Mm-hmm. And we're very pleased to be associated with this organization.
Yes.
Because it's the number one rehabilitation facility in the country. You see, Goodwill believes in people, and its business is helping the handicapped help themselves.
Mm-hmm. And you know, Steve, with most of us these days devoting a good portion of our time combating the energy crisis, we tend to forget about the battle that handicapped people face every day. Just to survive.
Very true. But that's where Goodwill Industries comes in. It offers them a chance to learn a trade, earn a living, and regain their self-respect.
Yes.
Well, our time's about up, Jane, so remember, folks, be good to Goodwill.
Especially during the week of May 5th through the 12th.
The new military government of Portugal now says that government leaders ousted in the coup 13 days ago are under arrest. Prior to this, the junta said the leaders agreed to accept exile. Now they say the former right-wing leaders, including ousted Prime Minister Marcelo Caetano, are under arrest on the Portuguese island of Madeira. Doug Poling, CBS News.